I want to be sharing a message tonight that maybe the church hasn't spent enough time on recently, helping each other with this topic, because we have become somewhat closed off, we have become somewhat quiet, and we've become sometimes silent when we ought to be speaking and doing some things. Tonight there's a message in my spirit simply called this: bring your confession out into the open. Bring your confession out into the open. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Psalms 32 for the text. I'm sorry I don't have just one verse for the text tonight. This morning I let you by with just one verse. And tonight I'm going to read 11 for our text verses tonight. Psalms 32. Bring your confession out into the open. And I want us to read Psalms 32 together tonight. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moistures turned into drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquities of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Father, I want to come before you tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that we would learn to confess before you. Lord, that we would break the silent barrier. That we would understand that when we cry out for mercy, we need to confess before you. Lord, when our heart is shut up and we're not talking, not even to you, then we are having a problem that is weighing heavy deep upon our spirit. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us in this church not to hide things, but confess things. Not to run away from you, but to run to you. Because, Lord, you paid the price. You gave the sacrifice. Not one sin was left undone that you did not cover by the blood of Jesus. Not one wrong that could not be made right by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Lord, we confess to you tonight that you are our Lord. We confess to you tonight that you are our Savior, that you are our King. We worship you in this, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Why is it today that the Christians are the ones holding back their tongue? Why is it today that anyone in any walk of life can openly display whatever sin that they choose, to be bold enough to confess to the world, I can do what I want to do, I can be what I want to be, I can have what I want to have, I can take a hold of all these things? And the world today is doing just that. Boldly they are confessing things to you and I. Boldly they are confronting the world and steering the direction on the way that they desire life to be. God has spoken in His Word to us about making confession unto Him. This is something that the church has begun to get silent on. Not many services do we come in and actually have a confession service unto the Lord. We slip in and we find the comfortable place that we always sit. We walk by the same people that we normally walk by and maybe shake hands and greet and say to one another, how are you? How's things been going? And on it goes. But when it comes right down to it, we have become the ones that the enemy has put some pressure upon us to keep us from confessing things in God's house. As a matter of fact, in the house of God ought to be the place where it is the easiest for us to begin to confess what ought to be confessed unto God. See, the only thing that we're doing by not confessing is causing our own spirit damage. It's causing the person beside you and the families beside you and the witness of the world is being shortchanged because they're no longer hearing the confessions that are coming out of the hearts of the children of God. God knows that you and I have things in our life that need to be confessed. Psalms 32 is a psalm that was given in light of confessing, and also because of confession became forgiveness. We all want to be forgiven. We all say, God, I need you to forgive me. I need this. I need you to have favor on my life. I'm asking for mercy. But see, mercy comes through confession. Forgiveness comes through confession. There must be something inside of you and me that decides that enough is enough, and I'm no longer going to hide it in my spirit. I'm no longer going to keep it under the rug. I'm no longer going to keep it in the closet of my bedroom. I'm no longer going to keep it from my friends. I'm no longer going to keep it from my Lord. But I need to start confessing some things to God that is weighing upon my spirit. There's something in life called stress. I want to tell the believer tonight that one of the most stressful things in your life is to walk around with sin in the midst of your heart and never confess it before God. You will literally feel the hand of God upon your life. It is not normal for a Christian to go into a sinful world and think that you and I can participate in the sins of the world and enjoy it in the same capacity that the sinner can. See, the sinner has not yet made Jesus Lord, but the child of God who has confessed. Was that confession that you made of Jesus coming into your life, was it valid? Was it really something that you meant to stick for all eternity? Was it a mouth that just uttered something because of the pressure of someone saying you need to repent? Or was it a heart that said, Lord, I am in sin, and I need to confess this to you, and I need to confess that to you, and I need to give it to you. See, Psalms 32 is about a confession to God. There's other confessions in the Scripture, but this one is a confession to God. It starts out in the first couple of verses saying, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. You can be a blessed person when you allow the transgressions and sins of your heart to be confessed before God so that you can know forgiveness. That's a blessed life. Whose sin is covered is a blessed life. Can I tell you that unconfessed sin is not covered under the blood? Can I tell you tonight that if you are someone walking in the spirit of darkness and holding on to some little thing that you know you need to get rid of and turn loose of, whether it be lifestyle, whether it be whatever it might be, whether you might be dabbling in some occult things, whether you be worshiping some other things, maybe money is your God, maybe fame and fortune is the thing that you're seeking after, maybe it's some type of pleasure of the flesh, maybe it's some kind of pride of life, whatever it might be, there is something in our spirit that needs to confess before God and lay it before Him. Somehow over the years, the church has begun to slip into thinking that there's nothing left to confess. I've confessed it all. You might have confessed it all a year ago. You might have confessed it all last week. What about the 7 days in between the last service or the few days in between when there might have been something that slips in there and you need to get it back to God and lay it down and confess it and get your heart clean? I'm not preaching tonight about being an unsaved person. I'm not preaching tonight that you need to run to the altar and get saved every other week. No, you are saved. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a saved child of God. But even the children of God can have damage in their heart. Even the children of God can have undone things that God needs to get a hold of. And it happens when we clam up and shut up and won't confess up. There's some pastors in the pulpit that need to confess that they haven't been praying before God and getting word from Him for their congregation. There's song leaders that need to confess before God and say, I'm no longer leading them in the spirit of praise, but I'm just ushering them into words of music. There's teachers in the church of God that need to begin to confess that, Lord, I really haven't laid before you over the students in my class and wonder where they are when they're not coming into class. There's things of confession that need to be made of the congregants that come into the house of God and decide to just sit on the bench and never give their heart to Jesus in the way of praise, never give their life to Jesus in the way of service and love. There's things to confess. But we need to confess to God. This is a confession to the Lord. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth no iniquity. If you want to be able to let God say there's no charge against you, there's nothing that He's going to hold against you, then you must be a confessor of the sins of your heart. You must be one that is quick to repent when sin enters in, because sin is laying at the door. The enemy is always laying in the footholds ready to take you in a place of sin. Church, you know the scriptures that tell us the spirit is ready and willing, but the flesh is weak. People love God with all their heart. I believe that. I believe for my own heart that I love God with all of my heart. But the problem is, the enemy will try to convince us that even though we love God with all our heart, there's nothing to really talk to Him about. Everybody else can be wrong, God, but my heart. Think about Peter. Nobody can tell me or convince me that Peter did not love God with all of his heart. I believe it hurt Peter so bad when the pressure really came on. He was watching Jesus go through something horrible. People were running to Him. You're one of them. He said, no, I'm not. Someone else. But I saw you with them. No, that wasn't me. Peter slipped back into the place where he began to unconfess instead of confessing. He backpedaled, but in his heart he still loved God. He went so far that he began to curse to prove a point. It's not me. But I believe he was longing for the day that he could confess that. And when Jesus, after he had went through the cross, the tomb, and the resurrection, and when he came back to Peter, what joy came back to Peter's life? I believe Peter continued to confess Jesus from that day forward. He became one of the great leaders that God used to begin His church. Confession is not easy, church. I'm not talking about the kind of confession that you run into the house of God and you confess your little sins that you did and run back out and do them again. I'm not talking about confession just to get a little weight off of your back and get your conscience a little bit calmed down. I'm talking about the confession that comes out of the spirit of man. Psalms 32 is talking in great detail about confession that brings forgiveness. In forgiveness brings healing. Verse 3 is the verse that got my attention as I was reading tonight. He said, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." Do you realize that your roaring heart, your aching spirit is a lot of times because you have unconfessed sin in your life and you're just dragging your life through, going day after day, trying to keep it hid, trying to even keep it unveiled from the Lord and everyone around you, when you're just having a roaring attitude and a roaring spirit and you are waxing older and older, and what that means is your life is getting tough. You're getting weaker. Things are not going the way you need them to go. He said, "When I keep silent, my bones waxed old." And then verse 4. This is my prayer over me and over you tonight. "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." It's time that you and I realize that sometimes the drought in our lives, sometimes the drought in our church, sometimes the drought in the move of the Holy Spirit is because God is saying somebody has got some unconfessed sin in the house of God. And when the sin is not confessed before Him, then the valleys and the rivers cannot bloom. The valleys can't bloom. The rivers can't flow. The Holy Spirit can't be the Holy Spirit because we have grieved the presence of God by letting unconfessed sin stay in our hearts. See, it's time for the church to come back to this place of prayer where we're not just praying, but we're confessing some things to God. We're not just praying, "God, help this. God, help us in that. God, relieve us of this. And God, get us through this." I have prayed those prayers, but God is getting a hold of my spirit, and He's saying here in these days that we're living in, there's a lot of unconfessed sin that's in my house, and there's a lot of sin that needs to be confessed before me so that I can allow the Spirit of God to flow the way I want it to flow again. Things that stay in your spirit unconfessed are doing the most damage to you. Confession. Bring it out into the open before God. Why come to His house and sit at His table and hear His word and not give your confession to Him? It's not going to do you any good. But we need to confess. Listen in on this confession. It started out like this: "I acknowledged my sin unto thee." Why is it the world can set up all kinds of counseling sessions, and one of the first things that they tell them is you need to acknowledge your weakness and own it and realize that you need to get this thing fixed? Well, we as God's children need to realize that unconfessed sin is a problem. Acknowledge sin. Don't put up with it. Don't sleep with sin. Don't hide your sin. Don't cover your sin. Don't let silence be over your sin, but go to God and confess it, that you may be a blessed person again, that God can take away the judgment off of your life, that God can allow the blood of Jesus to cover you. "Acknowledge my sin, Lord." And He said, "Mine iniquity have I not hid." Now it's coming to the open. When you're quiet, you're hiding your sins. When you sit and never come to the altar, when the Spirit of God is moving,
Not just because a pastor asked you to come to the altar, but when God's Spirit is moving, and the place where God wants to pour out His greatest blessing is the place that represents the place of the altar where the anointing of the Lord is there. There is a place to stand before God. He has an altar. And that's the place where you need to confess. Get on your knees. We've gotten so comfortable, so casual in our relationship with the Lord that we just automatically think that He's already forgiven us. He'll overlook us. He will love us nonstop. But God is going to deal with sin in every generation. And the unconfessed sin is that hidden sin that you know is there, but you're refusing to tell God about it. And enough is enough. Enough is enough according to the Word of God because your bones are drying up. Enough is enough because you're waxing old in your spirit and God is not able to do what He wants to do to bless you. You need a blessing and God wants to give you a blessing. The church needs to be blessed again, but we've got to start confessing our sins before God. You do that by acknowledging that there is sin. What is sin? Things that are against the Word of God. How do you know it's sin? Because when God says not to do something and you do it, that's called sinning. His Word has given us the instructions on what is sin. There's many things that will hurt you. If you're a good parent of any sorts at all, you will tell your kids some things not to do because it will harm them. Don't let your children play next to a hot stove. Don't let them put things and poke them inside the outlets on the walls. Don't let them sit out on the sidewalk next to a street and be unprotected and unwatched and let them wander into traffic. Keep the poisonous products in your house, the cleaning products, the medicines and the things that can do them harm, out of the reach of children. Why do we do those things? Because we love our children. Why did God give us His Word? Because He loves us. Why did He say, "Thou shalt not kill"? Because we need some rules. Why did He say, "Thou shalt not lie"? Because He knew the father of lies was loose in the world. Why did He say, "Thou shalt not steal"? Because He wants to give you what you need if you'll come and ask. See, everything that we do that's sin is because we're robbing God. If we need a blessing, go to Him. If we need forgiveness, go to Him. If we have a need that we don't have, if we need a job, go to Jesus. Pray. Confess your sins before Him in your life and get it right with God. And God will give you a job. I promise you, He'll give you a job. He said in His Word, He will supply all our needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The key to that is in Christ Jesus. You and I have to be in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus has to be inside of us. And in that union and in that relationship, every need known to you and I will be met. But we got some confessing to do. Relationships and morals. It's time for us to confess. It's time for the church to confess the sins that we've allowed to enter in to the house of God. I believe the final revival that God will raise up will come out of a church that will confess their sins before God and seek Him for forgiveness so that He may heal us and send us forth to do His will. When God will hear the church confess the hidden sins. I'm talking about things that have been locked up inside of us for years, that we have still not bowed our hearts and knees and our mouth before God and said, "God, I know this is sin, what I'm doing, and I must confess it now." Your life is not going to get any better until you start confessing something to the Lord. He said, "Mine iniquities, I made a decision. I'm not hiding them anymore. I'm not convincing my friends that I'm okay. I'm not just getting by in my relationship with Jesus anymore. I want to confess so that I can be forgiven and work on being healed." See, confession's a good thing. But it's something that's not happening too much in churches anymore. I acknowledge my sin. Verse 6 says, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." It says everyone that's godly. It didn't say every sinner. It said everyone that's godly will pray like this. Because we need to confess our sins before God while there's still time. Then he begins to talk about the time. "Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him." Do you know how you can overcome the greatest obstacles of your life? Start confessing your sins. And watch what God will do to fix your life. He's got your back. He's got your future. But he needs you to start confessing some things to him. Verse 7 says, "Thou art my hiding place." See, there's a reversal. It used to be I'm hiding my sins from God. But then when you confess your sins to him, he becomes your hiding place from the world. And from those things trying to pull you back into sin. Did you know God can hide you from the enemy? God becomes the hiding place. Instead of the sin being hidden in your heart, God can be that hiding place for you and to preserve you from trouble. That's what the Bible says, trouble. "And thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." I got to take a minute on that. Confess your sins. Let God forgive you. As God forgives you, it changes on your spirit. And rather than you hiding things from God, because it's tough to hide things from God. It's very tough. It's very tough. So you need to let them out. You need to confess them. Once you begin to do that, then he'll change things in your life and you'll see him as a hiding place to keep you away from sin. Church, it's time we realize God's got to hide us from some things. Don't roll back your shoulders and straighten up, stiffen up your neck and your legs and walk around this world like you're big enough to overcome every sin. Because the Bible said in the last days, even the very elect of God, if not careful, can be deceived. And so it doesn't matter if you start out being a teenager and you're tempted in a sin. By the time you reach adult on into the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, and if you live to be in the 80s and 90s, you can still fall into the temptations that the enemy had plotted against your life way back when you were young. And so there's things in our life that we need God to hide us from. And he will hide you if you're willing to confess your sins and let him become the hiding place in your life instead of you hiding your sins from him. But these songs of deliverance, what is a song of deliverance? Is that what the praise team sings? No, the song of deliverance is a personal song when you have went through a testing and you've went through the fire. And because of you being honest with God and confessing your faults to him, not because he wants to punish you, but so he wants to heal you. When you begin to confess things and open up to God and get it out in the open and let your life be an open book to him as his life was an open book to us. And he went openly to the cross. As a matter of fact, I need to let you know that he was crucified naked on the cross for you and me. You can't get any more open than that. There was nothing hidden. They stripped him. And he went to a cross and died there so that all the hidden things would be exposed so that there can be healing and forgiveness. But the song of deliverance is a personal thing. It's not the song that the praisers sing for the church. It's the song that when you've been going through the fire and you begin to see, hey, there's a fourth man in this fire with me. They began to sing a deliverance song there when you're in the well. And Jonah was in the belly of a whale. There came a song of deliverance to him. There was no band. There was no musicians. There was no choir. There was no church service. But God showed up and said, I'm going to get you out of this, Jonah. And there was a song of deliverance for him. Daniel faced a lion's den. And I believe somewhere in that night, God gave him a deliverance song. And he was singing the victory clear till morning. He wasn't harmed at all. I'm going to tell you, the enemy's going to throw some of us down in a pit. The enemy's going to try to burn some people with some bad relationships and burn some people with some bad words being said about them and burn some things about your lifestyle and burn some things about who you are. But there is a fourth man that will be in the fire because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did a confession before the king that they would not bow their knee. They made a confession to the Lord and said, we will not bow our knee to no other except our God. See, there was a confession. There's some different types of confessions in the Bible. The first one that we're talking about tonight is confessing the sin, the hidden sins in our hearts, and getting it out. But then there's this other kind of confession. Matthew 10. There's a verse there that says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess before my Father in heaven. Now I'm not talking about confessing your sins. I'm talking about confessing your Savior. Why is it the world can tell us every popular band and every rock star and musician and every movie star and actor and actress, and why can we go to all these great lengths to have all kinds of magazines telling us what the style trend is and what we ought to be driving our cars like and all these different things? Who's out there confessing Jesus before the men and the women and the boys and the girls and the classmates in school? Who is out there confessing that name? The Bible says if you and I will not start confessing Him before the world, then He will not confess us before God who is in heaven. There's a confessing problem that's loose in the church. There's a confessing problem that's getting stopping the move of God. Everybody else is confessing their rights. Everybody else is pushing their agenda. Everybody else is confessing what the Constitution ought to be and what the laws ought to be. But the Bible says those that will confess me before men, those are the ones that I will confess before my Father in heaven. Those that deny me, in other words, those that keep silent and keep their confession about who they are. It's not time to be a closet Christian. It's time to be an open Christian. It's not time to be a Christian that sits down and scribbles out and hides in hiding that they serve God. But it's time that we stand up as red as the blood in our vein and scream it out to the world that I confess that Jesus is Lord, and without Him there is no remission and forgiveness of sins. Why can the world yell and scream their message? I'm going to stand in the pulpit tonight and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and He is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. We complain because our life is messed up. We worry and fret because things are not being taken care of. Number one, are you confessing your sins before God? Number two, are you confessing Jesus before the world? The peer pressure of friends. Let me tell you, it doesn't go away after you're out of high school. There is peer pressure everywhere you go as to whether or not you're going to stand as a child of God. I have had to stand my faith in the workplace. I have been in positions where I have been in interviews across the table and began to confess my relationship with Jesus. And because I did that, I was told I could not have the job. Now I'll confess, because confession is good. There's also times that I decided to be quiet and not let people know I'm a Christian. God's bringing some conviction into my spirit that ever before, it's time to confess and be standing up for the faith that Jesus died to give you. The internet is full of confessions. Facebook is full of confessions, but they're not the confessions of God. They're not the confessions that I'm a child of God. Most of what I'm seeing on Facebook is pure garbage. But I've made a decision that I'm going to take back my Facebook account and I'm going to put a positive message about the Word and the blood and the Savior and let the world know that there's somebody that's still going to confess Jesus to be Lord, even in a world that doesn't want Him. I came close to shutting my Facebook down because I got tired of reading the rumors and the gossip and the junk. But I set it up for a reason, to be used as a tool for the Lord, and I'm not going to let the enemy close my account because I don't want to hide from him. So I'm choosing to stand up for Jesus, and will I get attacked for that? I'm sure I will. Will you get attacked when you stand up for Jesus? I'm sure you will. He said in his word to remember the prophets of old, how they were drugged into places and killed. His disciples, every one of them, ended up being killed. Stephen was stoned. And I'm not talking about the marijuana kind of thing. I'm talking about rocks and being killed. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, sit down and count the cost. It may cost you something to live for Jesus, but it cost heaven everything for him to come. He poured out his life, and there wasn't a drop left in him that he did not give. And yet, when it comes time for you and I to confess our sins, we'll hold them, and we'll try to hide them. We'll sit in church all proper and all dignified, and we'll avoid different things, and we'll skip out of the altar service, and we'll come in and just kind of sidestep the real preaching of the Word of God and just trickle in and listen to a little bit, and then out we go and wander and do our own thing. You need to stay in the house of God and hear the Word preached and let your spirit be convicted by Jesus and come and confess so that you can be forgiven and healed. People do each other wrong. That's part of who the nature of us are. We hurt people. Sometimes you do it on purpose, and sometimes it's an accident. But church, you need to know forgiveness isn't coming until you and I start confessing. The Bible says in Matthew 10, whosoever there shall confess me before men. Men are the world. Confess Jesus everywhere you can. What about spirits? The Bible says in 1 John 4, you can know the true spirit this way. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is of God. Did you know there are spirits in this world that will not acknowledge Jesus Christ? They're an evil spirit. Oh yeah, there's all kinds of spirits in this life. If God would allow you to see the spiritual world, you would be amazed to know how many spirits are even trying to get inside the church house, deceiving people. But the test for even the spirit is whether or not that spirit confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. If he came in the flesh, that means he was divine from heaven, and he came in the flesh. And if he came in the flesh, he came in the form of the Word. And when he came in the flesh, he died in the flesh on the sin of the world on the cross. That's what it's talking about. You got to test the spirits that you're running with and find out the confession that's in that spirit. Let me tell you where some spirits travel. Music, movies, books, people's own mouth, internet, all kinds of things. But if you want to know the spirit behind everything that's involved in your life, find out if they're confessing Jesus Christ or not. And if they're not confessing Jesus, then you ought to throw it down and get rid of it. It'll start when you start confessing the hidden sins. See, here's the thing. The enemy wants you to believe that you are the one creating and doing all the sinning and thinking that nothing is influencing you to sin. But there is a spirit that is leading you in the direction of sin and making you be deceived to where you feel that it's all on you. It is the devil and his evil spirits that lead you into sin. And when you're there, you need to make the way out by confession unto Jesus. You can't overcome sin by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. But you need the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. Romans 14:11 says, I love this. I saw this in the Word tonight when the Scripture says it is written. And it says it in Romans 14:11. It says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. See, you need that whole verse. It's written. There's a confession in God's word. The Lord says, as I live, this is how sure this is that's going to happen. And it's something that the Lord said. Every knee shall bow to me. Every knee is going to bow before Jesus. Do you know what the bowing knee symbolizes? Confession. Acknowledging that you and I have sin to deal with, and the only way to deal with it is to confess to Jesus, I need forgiveness. And the knee bows down to the King of Kings and says, Jesus, you're that one that can forgive me of all my sins. Every mouth is going to confess. If you hold your sins and you decide to keep them and you never bring them to God and you never confess them, according to the Word of God, as long as God is alive and living, and He is, you're going to find standing before Him one day that your tongue and your knee will bow then and confess to Him everything. 1 Peter 5:16. I don't know if the church is ready to come back to this verse. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye might be healed. Does that mean that God wants me to spill every sinful act of my life over to somebody in the church and confess all of that? No. But it means we got to get back to the place where I look at you and you look at me and we talk together and say, listen, I got some things I need to confess before God. How about you? And we make an agreement that we go to pray together. And you pray for me and I pray for you. And the Bible says when we begin to pray for one another that there's healing that comes on the family of God once again. There's some division in the church because we won't confess faults to each other and try to brag about how good of a Christian we are. Oh, I've been reading my Bible every day. I've been in prayer three times this week. I've been doing this and I've been doing that. But ask each other this. Is there anything you need to confess before God? That's as far as you need to go in that conversation. And as soon as they say yes and you say yes back, just get in agreement and say, hey, let's go to pray together now. Now that we've made a confession one to another that we got some things out of place, let's just go to God together. Because you know what? You'll find out that it's greater to pray in groups. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst of them. any two that shall agree upon any one thing on earth, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. What's it all talking about? It's talking about learning how to break down the barrier walls and get beside each other once again and begin to just kneel down beside one another and pray. Some of the greatest revivals that ever came to the church was because it wasn't just the people that came and began to confess their sins, but it was the ones that came behind them and began to kneel down right beside them and cry with them and say, there's sin and we're going to pray through until God delivers you of this thing, and we're going to see the glory of God come. And I saw benches after benches full. There was not just one little altar in the church that I grew up in, but there was a center altar, and there was one off to this side, and there was one off to that side, and the altars were so full many nights that we couldn't find another place to kneel down and pray, that you had to form a different line behind it and begin to pray. But the church got involved with the sins of the church. The church got involved with confession one to another and recognizing that we got things to go before God together in, and it's time for the church to begin to not just confess our sins, the hidden things to God, and it's time for the church not to just get back out in the world and confess Jesus before men, but it's time for the church to be the church and come back together and say, listen, I know there's things the enemy's fighting on you. I know he's been fighting me. Surely he's fighting you. Let's get together and understand that we got some confessing to do together and just agree with God that things are going to get better. But we would rather sit by ourselves. Hide it all. And just let people guess who ought to have been in the altar. There's no shame in coming to the altar. There's just forgiveness waiting. There's just cleansing waiting. There's just the power of God waiting. There's blessing waiting. There's the peace of God waiting. There's the joy of the Lord waiting. See, there's a verse 9 of Psalms 32. It kind of gets down to the everyday people and situations. And he says, be not like a horse, and don't be like a mule. I'm not calling you a horse or a mule, but the Bible says don't be like either one of them. That it actually takes a bit and a bridle to get you to move and guide you to the place that you're supposed to go. I'm here to tell you tonight, God's not going to put a bit and a bridle on you and pull you to the altar. But God's going to say you ought to have enough inside of you by the word of life and hear the word preached and accept the Holy Spirit moving, that you ought to just allow your own free will to get engaged and come and confess some things before God. You know, there's nobody else in life to please but Him. Your friends one day are going to be gone. Some have already experienced the loss of parents, and they're not always going to be there. Some have experienced the loss of pastors, and they're not always going to be there. Some have found out that Sunday school teachers are not always going to be there. Some have found out that best friends are not always going to be there. You know, we try to please everybody else. And the best way for you to have pleasure in your own spirit and heart is to please God. What pleases God? Confessing your sins. He's not a mean God. He's not ready to punish you. He wants to keep you out of punishment by letting you confess. It's the unconfession that puts punishment in your spirit. It's the unconfessed sins of the world, the ones that are going to reject Jesus till the very time that He comes back, that His wrath is going to be poured out upon because they rejected the blood and the mercy and the grace of God. They're going to find out when they get before heaven that all their sins were forgiven. They did not miss heaven because their sins were not forgiven. They missed heaven because their confession was never there. They never confessed that Jesus needed to be their Lord. They never confessed that they needed salvation and deliverance of their sins. They never confessed Jesus before the world. They never confessed their faults to one another in the house of God, to where others can pray. and stand in the gap. Don't be like a horse and don't be like a mule. Verse 11, I'm going to close with this verse out of Psalms 32. The end of your confessions. Living out your Christian life before the Lord. This is what happens. You're glad in the Lord. I'm not talking about happy. Happy comes and goes. Happy is when you get extra fries for free at McDonald's. Happy is when you go to a carnival and the person running the ride gives you an extra couple of minutes. And it's gone just as quick as it came. But gladness, something that you can enjoy. The Bible says, rejoice. Another place in Scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Ye righteous. Does that mean that you're living a perfect, sinless life? No, but let me tell you what righteousness is. Every time sin gets a hold of your life, bring it back to confession, and God will call you righteous through the blood. Shout for joy. You don't have to beg God for joy. He's going to give you a shout that's full of joy. And He calls the ones that will confess before Him the upright in heart. Why go through life with a downward heart, a twisted heart, confused heart? The enemy is going to fight even tonight. But I believe there's something in every one of us that can be confessed before God tonight. Give me just something on the music, please. We're going to take a minute or two tonight. There comes a place in the service where nobody else around you needs to matter, and you have to talk to the Lord. We sang a song tonight that says, as long as I have breath, I'll praise the Lord. As long as I can sing, I'll sing His praises. Don't take the breath that you're breathing for granted. It's a blessing from God every day that you live. I'm not trying to scare anybody tonight, but I want us to understand this is the night that God has said, let's start confessing some things. I have made some promises to the Lord. I've wrote some things down in my Bible about certain things to prepare each week to hear from heaven. And I found myself at different times being pulled away from some of the things that I have felt like the Lord wants me to do. Something interferes with my prayer time. Something interrupts my study time. When you get out of doing what you know you're supposed to do for even just a week, it's harder to get back. Some of you once had a great prayer life. And by meaning great, I'm not talking about the hours or the number of times you prayed. I'm talking about the great prayers of knowing the presence of God in your prayers. Because there was a time that you just kept confessing things to Him. God, I'm sorry I let my tongue slip up. God, I'm sorry I said those words. God, I did not mean to hurt that person. God, I was tired and I gave into the flesh. God, I knew I shouldn't have went to that place. See, there's a place where once you begin to practice the sin or keep it hidden long enough, then you just kind of feel like, I don't have to deal with it. I'm getting by with it. But that's the thing that needs to be unlocked and given back to God, because it's blocking the blessing that you need. As long as we have breath every day, there's going to be some situations that you need to confess before God. Sometimes I get in a big hurry when it's mealtime and I rush through a prayer of thanks when I ought to just really be thankful that God's blessed me enough that I've got plenty to eat. But I get so hungry sometimes I just want to eat it and not be thankful for it. I mean, Jesus took time with 5,000 people when they were probably really hungry. And he took it all that he had. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And as he broke the bread, he held it up and gave thanks to God for it and said, "Thank you, Lord." See, it doesn't necessarily have to be long prayers. But in the prayer time, you need to learn to confess. Because what happens when we don't confess is we automatically start letting ourselves believe that there's nothing wrong with our life. Somebody else. It's got to be somebody else, Lord, but it surely it couldn't be me. But when you start confessing, you know what will happen? God will show you things you didn't even know was in your heart. Maybe there's some prejudice hiding deep in your spirit you didn't know about. Maybe there's some unforgiveness that God will bring to the surface when you start confessing other things. All the time, he's just wanting to get it out, clean it. Maybe there's people that you need to forgive that you haven't. God will bring them back to your spirit. He'll bring them back to remembrance, and you can bring it to God. What I'm going to ask tonight is I'm going to ask us to confess things to Jesus. If there's anything in your life that you can think of that needs to be confessed before God, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to come stand on this altar for me. And I'm going to talk to the Lord. And I will tell you that there's some things I need to confess before God. So I have confessed that to you, my brother and sister in Christ. My mouth has gotten me in trouble. And I have said some things that I ought not say. This is something, I want you to hear this. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit. He gave me this for me. I was praying just before service and he gave me something. I think this will help some. The Lord said in my spirit that when the enemy starts a rumor or starts a verbal attack, the worst thing that you and I can do is talk about it, because he said when we talk about it, it's like blowing wind on the fire. That's what he said to me. And I have been caught talking about the fire that's already burning. And God began to deal with me tonight. He has been dealing with me. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's hard to keep your mouth closed. But I want you to think about that analogy that the Holy Spirit gave to me. See, if you know anything about getting a fire to burn brighter and hotter, it takes a wind to blow into the fire to make it go bigger. Do you know what happens? Do you know how you can put a fire out? Take away its oxygen. Do you know how you take away the oxygen of a rumor? Stop repeating it and stop talking about it. If we would learn how to do that as a church, when somebody says something wrong to you, don't run and tell on them. Go to God. Stop repeating the hurts to each other, because what we're doing is blowing the wind on the fire, and it's just getting bigger. So that's my confession to the church tonight, that I'm asking God to forgive me and help me, that I don't cause any more fires to get bigger than what they already are. You know what He'll do? He'll begin to bring His presence over like that heavy hand on the hearth that's trying to hide the sins, and His heavy hand's going to snuff out those flames. And I'm rejoicing tonight because I know He's already shutting down the fire, and we're getting our shout back. What about you tonight? Is there anything in your heart that you need to come and stand on this altar and confess before God? Just start coming. I'm not going to put the bit and the bridle on anybody tonight. Just start coming. Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. This might be the night when you're going to decide that you're just going to confess Jesus before men. There's other people in this church. So you can confess Jesus by saying, okay, I stand for Him. I'm coming. I put myself, and I can only put myself. What's God doing? He's getting us ready for revival. Doesn't it start with the house of God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When you get to the altar, don't wait on anybody else to start praying. You just start talking to God. If you want to kneel down, kneel down. If you want to lean on a bench, lean on a bench. If you want to kneel at the altar, kneel at the altar. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that if we do confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. You don't have to worry about whether or not God's going to forgive. He wants to, but He needs the confession. You need that confession. Lord, I thank You tonight that as a body of Christ, we kneel our hearts. God, not one person in the sound of this message tonight is without something to confess to You. Lord, even if we come to the altar and say, Lord, search the deep things of my heart. Find that hidden thing that I have buried, that I've not wanted to look at, that I've not wanted to acknowledge. But tonight, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that there's some unconfessed sin that I need to deal with. Lord, bless us tonight through Your word. As a pastor for the body of Christ, I confess to You, Lord, the sins that have not been confessed over this body. When we have held Your word in our hands and treated it as an unholy word, when we have allowed Your Holy Spirit to reach out into the congregation and minister, and we've grieved Him by not obeying. God, when we have looked at the clock rather than listened to Your word, when we have decided that there's something else on our mind more worthy to think about than the hour that we have in the Word of God. Lord, when we have just went through the motions of singing a praise rather than a heart of praise to a song that's sung. Forgive us, Lord, for blowing wind upon the fires that are already burning. Lord, through the blood of Jesus, we are forgiven. Every sin known to man has already, the price for that sin has already been paid. But the confession of that sin is up to us. The Bible says that we believe with the heart, but we confess with the mouth unto salvation. Just by believing doesn't get us saved. Just by confession doesn't get us saved. But when we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He went to a cross and died and was raised again, when we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth that we need forgiveness through the blood, we become your children. I pray tonight over each and every person. Every little girl, every little boy, every young adult, every teen, every elder of the church, every leader, every guest that would be in the house of the Lord tonight. We bow our knees. With our mouth we confess Jesus as Lord. We praise you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.